Hello, hello. Here we are again. It's Tuesday.
It's Tuesday. Hey, Maddie.
Hi, Sonia. How are you doing today?
I'm good. It's still nice. It's sunny. It's, you know, we're into fall now, but it looks pretty good outside. So I'm taking it in the last, like, nice vibes before the deep fall rolls in. How about you? It looks nicer where you are, too.
Yeah, well, you're into fall, we're into spring. So the flowers are coming out, people are getting vaccinated, the people are spending more time outside. Yeah, things are looking up, which is good.
Spring is always my favorite time of year. It's just something about hope and flourishing. And I love summer too, don't get me wrong, every season, but there's just something about spring, the flower buds, the trees coming to life. Like,
yeah, I do too. All the flowers. It's so nice. Of course, everybody
I still have,
but
true, true. I have plants all over the house, and I feel like now I'm getting some dry flowers because they'll be a little, the fresh ones will be harder to come by, but it still just freshens up the place. I just added a new plant in my bedroom, and I'm trying to get used to it because I don't know if it reacts to light. It requires very little water, and I feel like it's got like moods like me. Where I walk in the room and I feel like for no reason at all the leaves are like up and she's like ready to go. And then I'll come back like an hour later and it's like,
I'm sure that happens. I'm 100% sure that happens.
Yeah. She's got an attitude.
Yeah. Anywho, let's get started. So quick intros. I'm Maddie Grant. My company is called Propel and I'm a culture designer. And I'm here with Sonia.
Yeah, my name is Sonia Lucina. I'm an organizational psychologist, and I'm the president of the Workforce Business Unit at Question Pro.
Yeah, so every Tuesday we get together to talk about work and life related topics, and we have a really good one for today. And we always kick off our show with a data point. So why don't we look at this week?
And today we have quite a few. And as we always mention, we have this ability to relatively freely survey workers, whether in the US or in other parts of the world. And so whenever we get interesting data, a lot of times it's really tempting to continue to look for more information and do the follow-up questions. And I would say that this topic is certainly so incredibly critical. And also we found some things that kind of took us aback, and we were trying to understand what people were thinking and where they were coming from. And so the topic today was around vulnerability. And this is something that probably was talked about maybe as much, maybe a little less than empathy over the last year. And it's such an incredible behavior, especially exhibited by leaders. And basically, just to get on the same page for what it is, showing vulnerability is actually being open and transparent around what you're going through in your life, whether it's personal life, whether it's professional life. And one of the things that we've seen in research in the past year is that a lot of people said how helpful it was to them when their leaders were vulnerable, because it made them feel more human, and it made them feel like, I'm not going through this incredible challenge alone, which allowed them to open up more and share what their experiences were. So that's why we wanted to study it a little bit and say, well, how do we quantify this? What are the actual perceptions of vulnerability? And how is that behavior exhibited in organizations today? And so the first question we asked about was just in general, what the perception around vulnerability is, because it's one of those words I thought back to some years ago when it was almost a badge of honor if you didn't sleep. And if you were able to push through the night and pull an all-nighter and go to work. And then I felt that Arianna Huffington had such a huge impact when she became very vocal around what she went through because of lack of sleep and just how critical it is. And since then, so many people really advocate the importance of rest, how much it helps us cognitively, how much it helps us physically. And I feel like we're almost on the same brink with vulnerability, where actually when we asked people what the perception of the word was, if it was perceived as a strength or a weakness in general, fewer than 20% of people said they believe the word was perceived as a strength. And when the results came in, Maddie and I started messaging each other saying, could this be possible? I mean, we were shocked.
Really depressed.
Yeah, it was just absolutely not what we expected. And then we said, okay, well, Brené Brown has been such a huge voice and a huge advocate about vulnerability, and particularly in the workplace, is it perceived differently there? And we found slightly better results, but not much. And not so, much. Yeah.
You wouldn't really think this would have changed over the last year, honestly, because everybody faced with so many, just so many challenges with the pandemic and everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I have like before and after data, but still, like, it just seems like this is just a really huge percentage difference.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's when we talked about empathy and how valuable it is for people to be able to understand each other, even if they're not going through the same thing. So one of the things that we know we found in research over the last year is that people in some ways experienced the pandemic differently. Those who lived by themselves, oftentimes millennials, because they're younger, felt very isolated. And it was very challenging for them, where if you were a parent with a toddler or a school-aged kid, you were probably thinking, I have it the worst because how am I going to work and juggle my kids? And what about their mental health? What about my mental health? And so oftentimes all of us were going through so many difficulties that it was probably hard to imagine that somebody else had it worse. And then all of a sudden, all this data from research came out. And I think we thought, wow, the people who were in very different situations than we were, who we just thought probably have it easier than us because each one of us was going through something difficult, it was incredibly eye-opening. And so it is interesting. It'll be interesting to see at the end of this year how much we're able to move the needle on this. But one, we did have some encouraging, because at first, these were the first two questions we asked, right? And like I said, we had the luxury of being able to do some quick follow-ups, and we just thought this stopped us in our tracks. And how is this possible for this behavior to be perceived as a weakness in the time that we're living? But then luckily, contrary to that, even though the majority of people still overall and in the workplace feel like vulnerability is seen as weakness, we saw that 63% of people said that they show vulnerability either often or sometimes in the workplace, which is so much more encouraging.
Yeah, that is encouraging. Exactly. And we mentioned Brené Brown. So she's probably the most well-known speaker on this topic. And I was wondering before whether her message had come through in terms of, you know, speaking at conferences, but not come through to the actual workplace, you know, where people still see it as not a strength, but a weakness. But at least this gives us a little bit more hope that actually people think it's at least possible, maybe not necessarily okay, to show vulnerability in the workplace, but they're doing it because sometimes you can't help it. Something happens and, you know, you're upset or whatever, and there you are.
So that is really encouraging, that despite what kind of connotation people think or reputation or how it's perceived, they're still seeing the value personally and saying, well, maybe even if the general stigma around it is not as positive, I need to be myself. Because now for a lot of people, you're working at home, and the divide that before was happening, that it's probably not even that natural anyways, it's much more difficult to have when, I think we were saying before, it's like you're working at home or you're sleeping at work or like whatever, however you want to perceive it now, depending on the number of hours somebody is putting in, that world's really blended. And I think that in many ways, not being vulnerable is probably really exhausting because, again, all of us are going through something and it might be different for each person, but to have to be guarded about it all the time and not feel like you can actually open up and share that is really challenging. So again, it's good. And I think that this behavior and people going through it will have a ripple effect on the perception of what vulnerability actually is, and that it's not perceived as a weakness and we're overcoming it, that it's actually something that makes us very human and is a huge benefit for each one of us in our relationships and for our own well-being and mental health. I see that we're 10 minutes past. Maddie, should we recap and then we'll go to our last data point?
Yes, go for it.
Okay, perfect. So today, for those of you just joining us, thank you for being here. Just a quick recap that today we're talking about vulnerability and something that's research has shown is just incredibly valuable for individuals in the workplace, in their lives overall, in just how they manage well-being, how they manage stress, their mental health, in how they connect with others. And in the first couple of data points, what we found was something that we thought was unfortunately alarming, in the sense that when people thought about the word vulnerability, the vast majority of people actually viewed it as a weakness, not a strength. And it was something that in our conversations before the show today, Maddie and I, it kind of took our breath away, and we thought, oh, how incredibly unfortunate to be able to see these kinds of statistics. And we followed up with a question around in the workplace. So maybe we put, last time we were talking about sometimes guarding our family or our friends, you know, against things that we're going through. So what happens in the workplace, where maybe if you're vulnerable, you can get more help from others. And we found very similar results, that only a quarter of the people we asked thought it was perceived as a strength. And actually the vast majority of people still saw it as a weakness. So not much better in the workplace. But then we got to some more encouraging findings, is that even though people thought that it's perceived as a weakness, that 63% of those we asked actually said they showed vulnerability in the workplace at least sometimes or often. And so that started to be encouraging, that even though that there's this potentially negative stigma around this concept, actually people are saying, you know, I just need to be transparent about what I'm going through. And if something bad happens, so be it, but I need to express my feelings. I feel like so much of my world is blending and it's just exhausting trying to put on this facade and not actually be open about what I'm feeling. So that's our recap so far. And we have one more data point to show.
Well, before you switch that, I just have one thought, which is that maybe there's a difference between what we perceive vulnerability as being negative, but being vulnerable because circumstances just sort of force you to. Yeah. So it, you know what I mean? So there's kind of a difference between the perception of it and the reality of it. And just because we perceive it, and I don't mean we, but we, the respondents, because people perceive it as negative doesn't mean that it's necessarily negative when it actually happens.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And building off of that great point is what we saw is that, so people are saying, okay, maybe this isn't such a good behavior to show, but I'm showing it anyways, because I, in the situation that I am, I feel like I have to. And then look at this, that 2/3 of the people that expressed vulnerability in the workplace actually had a positive experience. Oh, I feel like this is something that we want to shout from the rooftops, because imagine sitting down with somebody and imagine something just happened in your family, or you're struggling with your kid, or maybe you're just really stressed out with something that's going on with your team and you're just keeping it in, and you feel like you can't turn to somebody, you can't open up to solicit advice, and it's just inside of you and it's exhausting you and it's taking all this energy to keep it in. And that the vast majority of the times when people actually open up and share that, what they receive is positive. Now, of course, I would love for that to be 100%. It's probably impossible in reality.
Yeah.
But this is so incredibly encouraging to see how positive of a reaction people have when they do let their guard down and when they do share their concerns or insecurities with those around them, especially people that can be empathetic and listen, and especially people that in some ways can actually help as well.
Well, and this reminds me of a sort of a metaphor, I guess, but something that my partner Jamie says a lot when he speaks, when he's presenting, is an example around, it's around transparency and sharing of information, but the idea that when you don't share information at work with your team, for example, then they, whatever they make up in their heads is always worse than the reality.
Yeah.
I really like that. It's like you always fear, you know, blowback or just negative repercussions of whatever, you know, you don't want to talk about. But in actual fact, you know, we're all human beings in the workplace, and at least some of us can show empathy or sympathy or solutions or, you know, whatever the case might be, but none of which are actually negative. But that fear of the negative is sort of bigger, right, than the...
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's funny that you say that, because actually Evan on my team and I were talking about this yesterday, and how both of us have a trait to just assume the worst, right? Something happens, and, oh, is everything okay? What do we do? And so we promised to help each other because we were both vulnerable and admitted that about ourselves. And based on what you're saying, Jamie's saying is we're not alone. So that's also reassuring that it's, you know, more generally human trait than not.
Yeah.
And to me, I think, you know, when I reflect back about my life and showing vulnerability, I would probably say the biggest time when I did that was at the beginning of the pandemic. And I remember waking up for a couple of days in a row and just feeling like my world was crumbling. And for multiple different reasons, but one example being is that I had invited some researchers from Europe to do a study at the company that I was working for at the time. And they were each had one-on-one interviews with people closed in these little rooms, and they left, and all of a sudden there was a spread of a pandemic. And I thought, oh my gosh, did I endanger a bunch of my employees? What happened? Like a bunch of my colleagues, people were messaging me. I was saying, okay, let me get it. Like our nanny couldn't come. We were with our kid, my parent. Like it was just from one day to the next. Oh, and then we had a case on our floor, and that's when nobody, you couldn't say who it was, of course. I had no idea if I was in contact with them. I couldn't see my parents who were with, like, I mean, literally just life just went, poof. And I told everybody, I said, I'm having a really hard time. I need to pull myself together. And my colleagues were just the most incredible people that said, whatever you need. And there were people that said, thank you for sharing that, because I'm going through these different things too. And here's what's happening. And it just felt like, one, it really brought us together, but the way that my colleagues offered to support me would have never happened if I wasn't open, because I would have had no idea what was going through my head.
Right, exactly. And I mean, you can extrapolate that to leaders and managers too, right? So I think that's actually where the challenge lies, is if managers aren't, and I know we say this pretty much every show, but this whole idea of showing by example, but it just really opens doors to, you know, just better relationships between people on the team or, you know, in the whole organization, is when you're able to just share real life, because we're all in it, right?
And no, but I don't think anybody's expected to be superhuman anymore. I think sometimes there's even a drawback. Like I know, whenever anybody says something to me like, oh, I don't know how you do it, and I said, oh, hold on. If you're saying that, then I need to share some more things with you. Because if I'm ever giving any perception of perfection here, I do not want to be doing that. So hold on. Do you have 5 minutes? Because let's go through a few things. Anything that's important, because it's, again, like, I mean, the extreme in different sense, everything that we're seeing on social media or people perceiving themselves or, like, again, a different example, but the different filters people use and saying, is that okay? Is that not okay? This is in the workplace. It's almost that. I feel like if you're guarding people from things that are not, that are happening, that are maybe not great at the time, you're giving others the perception like, oh, wow, she or he can do everything. So why can't I? And it gives people more anxiety. It creates more burnout because people are going to try to work harder to strive for the same, but actually it's not a reality for somebody. So I think as a collective for well-being, it's just, it's so incredibly important to be transparent around those kinds of things. So Oh, so much to be said.
it's always every topic opens the door to so many more, like different branches of that topic.
Yeah.
But we're at time again. Craziness.
We are. And I didn't want us to wrap up without just leaving a few resources. And as all of you can tell, Maddie and I are big fans of Brené Brown and what she's done in this area, and a lot of the research, the really practical things. I think she's really good at saying, this is how you show vulnerability in practical terms. These are some things that are great to discuss. This may be a little less. If you Google her, you'll find probably a million more resources. These are just a few. But again, on your journey to discovering vulnerability, seeing how to manifest it better, how to express it better, I would say she's by and far the person that I would recommend following. So again, just a few resources here on this journey as we learn all together how to continue to be more human and more vulnerable.
All right. And with that, we'll see you next week.
Thanks, everyone.